Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Amin Yasir Muhammad calling from our show. A message of concern. Alhamdulillah. We open up giving all praise and thanks to Almighty God Allah, the creator of the heaven and the earth and all between. Alhamdulillah. And we say Al-Fatiha, which is Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Malik Yawmiddin, Iyaka Nabudu wa Iyaka Nasta'een, Ihdina Sirata al-Mustaqim, Sirata al-Ladheena an'amta 'alayhim, Ghayril Maghdubi 'alayhim waladdallin. Ameen. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. Praise be to Allah. This is the message of concern. This is our show. The message of concern is we want to remove all racial images from worship, remove all racial images that purport to portray the divine. Alhamdulillah. And we've been going on now for close to 2 years. Brother Akbar and Sister Daya are our main hosts, our usual hosts, Brother Shuja, Brother Muhammad, serving as co-hosts. Alhamdulillah. So this is a message of concern, and I'm kind of filling in because Sister Daya and Brother Akbar are at a Claire Muhammad school function in Atlanta. And they have a banquet there, alhamdulillah. So some of you, you might want to spread the word who are listening. If you want to get over there, you know, the banquet tickets are about $100. I think it's a fundraiser also. So this is what they're doing. All praises be to Allah. And they're at this at function, Sister Claire Muhammad School function, and they asked me to cover for them. Also tomorrow, The Mosque Cares is having their first Sunday extravaganza, and they have several topics that they're going to cover. And Sister Rashida, it's a sister named Rashida Robinson, who is going to do something dealing with Claire Muhammad School, and she invited me to do a presentation on STEM, and inshallah, God willing, I'm gonna do that tomorrow. So sister, this is I guess another Sister Claire Muhammad weekend. Tonight is the banquet in Atlanta, and tomorrow is the first Sunday, and Sister Rashida is gonna do an education panel. So all praises be to Allah, alhamdulillah. So, alhamdulillah. Let me see who do we have here. Allahu Akbar, alhamdulillah. So, STEM is a very important concept, and we talked a little bit about that this morning on the show, a Blog Talk Radio show, AM360. It's called Imam W.D. Muhammad. The show was a show that comes on at 7 o'clock Eastern time on AM360 this morning. And they had a brother named Kareem Hamid, who's the station manager. And he's been rolling with playing lectures by Imam W.D. Muhammad. And then they also comment they comment and show their you know, in other words, they try to express what they're getting from listening to Imam Muhammad. So it's a great platform that they have, and he's been rolling like that for several years, every Saturday. And this morning, you know, if you want to listen to it, go to AM360. Let's see, what is it called? It's a long name. It's called the evolution of revolutionary thought and creative purpose with Imam Kareem Hamid. And hold on a second here. And Imam Muhammad was talking about, among other things, he was talking about science, how very important science is in the world of a Muslim, in the life of a Muslim. And so that opened up the brothers. So a lot of the brothers was talking about science. And so I had an opportunity to tell them about my website, www.SisterClaireMuhammadStemSchool.com. SisterClaireMuhammadStemSchool.com. Alhamdulillah. So STEM is very important. STEM, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, very important. It's a way of measuring, weighing, quantifying, qualifying Allah's creation, the sun, the moon, the stars, and those billions and trillions of stars out in the universe. You know what I mean? And the atoms and the grains of just all praise be to Allah. This is Allah's perfect creation. You know, alhamdulillah. So science gives us believers opportunity to look closer into nature and Allah's universe, and to quantify it, qualify it, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. So all praise be to Allah. So we talked about it this morning on the radio show, how very important STEM, and we talked about creating a STEM culture, Right now they have a hip-hop culture. The Pope of Rome called it the culture of death, the culture of death. They have a hip-hop culture, and this hip-hop culture talks about crime and sin and illegality and immorality. They talk about murder and killing and robbing and stealing and they write music to it. They dance to it. And they pop their fingers to it, to death. So we was talking about science, and the imam was telling us how very important science is. So we were talking about creating a culture, a STEM culture, you know, alhamdulillah, where we talk about science, technology, engineering, and math, which is STEM, but also the brothers brought out something that a lot of parents, a lot of adults put fear into their children by expressing their dislike for science and math. You know, you hear a parent, I think one of the brothers, Adam Bayah, said, you know, she overheard a parent tell a child, oh, I hate math. You know, don't put that type of fear, don't put that type of hate into your children for something that Allah has for us. You know, that you know, stop saying that. Oh, I hate science. You know, no. So our STEM efforts are going to have to reach. Hold on, I'm over here at the UCLA hospital. I brought my. About my cousin, she's having eye problems here. My cousin and my aunt here. So that's the noise that you hear, the racket. So we have to work on adults also, not only children, and get them to understand how important it is to this religion, to study STEM. And so tomorrow I'll have a chance to talk on first Sunday, inshallah, and I explained all the little anomalies and problems we've been having, you know what I mean, and everything. But the sister wants me to talk about, and she also wants me to talk about aeronautics, the aeronautics part, which I'm not a specialist. I'm not a specialist of anything. I'm like Imam Muhammad. I'm a student of science. I'm a student of science. I know how important it is. Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught me how important it is. You know, the lieutenants and captains at the masjid, they taught me. They the ones that taught me how important it is. So all praise be to Allah. So, alhamdulillah, Rabbul Alameen. What time is it now? It's about 10 minutes after 4 o'clock. All praise be to Allah. So this is a Sister Claire Muhammad Education Weekend, starting tonight in Atlanta. I sure wish I could be in Atlanta. I wish I was down there and had my ticket and get ready to eat that good food, that good old Southern cooking. You know, they say the tickets are $100, but that's all right. Praise be to Allah. You know, I wish I was down there and alhamdulillah. But inshallah, it's going to come a time. But tomorrow on the Mosque Cares, the first Sunday, we're going to talk about education also. So, alhamdulillah, I'm going to open up these microphones. And I see my brother Shuja. And I talked to Brother Tariq this morning, Shuja's son, a little while ago. Very, very intelligent brother. Very intelligent brother. All praise be to Allah. We talked about the Arabic language. He talked about STEM and everything. And Brother Tariq is helping the brother, Sister Halima's son, create a curriculum for the Claire Muhammad School in Atlanta, because Halima's son is the principal now. And Brother Tariq, he asked Brother Tariq to help him with the curriculum. So, you know, we talked and I gave a little suggestion here and there. But alhamdulillah. So, let me see. Alhamdulillah. I see Brother Shuja. Let's see what we got here. All right, bro. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Shuja. Brother Shuja, is your phone on mute? Assalamu alaikum,
yes,
Shuja.
Sir. Assalamu alaikum, Assalamu alaikum.
Hear you loud and clear.
Alhamdulillah.
Hear you loud and clear, brother.
Okay, so I'm gonna bear witness that there is only one God. I think I've been bearing witness for over 40-some years, you know, and praise be to Allah. Allah bless me to be there in the beginning when Imam Waqidi Muhammad started, asked us to get the prayer committee started. And we came together and put together the prayer committee. We did the leaflets where we got signatures. Imam asked us to get signatures, and we went out and we got people to give us signatures for Imam Waqidi Muhammad to go and see the Pope. The Pope of Rome, and what we used to get the signature was to remove all racial images out of worship that portray God. That's what we used to get the signatures, and it was an explanation. It was an explanation on that, you know, and why we should move. We asked for the removal of all racial images that portray God. First of all, I'd like to open up with Allah's name, most gracious and most merciful. I too bear witness and testify that there is only one God. And I bear witness that Prophet Muhammad, the peace and blessing be upon our Prophet Muhammad, is the seal of the Prophet. He's a messenger of Allah, and he's God's servant. Brothers and sisters, it's a blessing to be in this day and time asking for the removal of all racial images in worship, out of worship. And just to be participating, be one of the participants is a blessing. That's a blessing. Alhamdulillah, I'm gonna try to help carry the show on, the program on this evening. Praise be to Allah. And I'm glad to hear they invited Agbar and Sister Dahir. You know, matter of fact, anytime they have in the program, you know, that in his area, I'm hoping that he attended those programs. If they have in the California area, I hope that brother, tend to it. If they have it down south, I'm going to try to tend to it, you know, and that's real important. Atlanta is one of the keys because that's where the schools are. That's where the top schools is at. And it's amazing. I had an opportunity to work at that school. I had an opportunity also to teach table tennis. You know, a lot of blessings to get a table tennis there at WD, you know, because Imam Wahid Muhammad asked us to establish to set in a table tennis, you know, for the students and a pool table, table tennis and pool table. So praise be Allah, we had the opportunity to do that. Sister that was over a recreation that was over sports asked me to head that as far as the ping pong is concerned. So I did that. Had an opportunity to teach the young brothers and sisters table tennis, you know. So I'm thankful to Allah just to have that. I was thankful to Allah just to have that opportunity, you know. And the principal there at Sister Claire Muhammad School is Brother Khalil. Let's say Sister Halima's children, his older son, you know, and her children, my children, real, real good friends. Matter of fact, one of my other sons, Brother Suleiman, traveled with Brother Khalil, and they went out of the country. Suleiman and his wife, and Brother Khalil and his wife. You know, all praise be to Allah. When I heard that he was going to be the principal, because he was. Teaching education out in the public school. He was teaching education in the public school. And when they got him to be over this, the Cloud Muhammad School, I was excited. It's amazing because the brother that's inviting Brother Agbar to the school and his wife, you know, is the one that's run the everything, and that is Brother Suleiman. You know, Brother Suleiman. His name is Brother Suleiman. And I know him and his wife. We travel, all of us travel together. His wife and I and my children travel together, and Suleiman went to Syria. He went to Syria there with Tyreek. Him and Tyreek. He called me one day, and I didn't know who he was. He lived in California, and he told me who he were, and then just told me the good relationship he had with Tyreek, I'm thankful that we got young brothers like that. And see, I know he's a stand-up brother. Yeah, you know, ain't nobody gonna go in there and push him over. push him over or make him go in the wrong direction or nothing like that. I feel real positive with him being the leadership of the Islamic community in Atlanta, Islamic community. You know, I'm praying for him. I thank Allah for him, for him and his wife. They're good people. He was active and taking believers on the trip to Hajj every year. That was his. That was the business that he was in. He was taking them to Hajj every year. You know, so we thankful. You know, and I think he got in contact with Tariq. And praise be to Allah. But not him. But Khalil got in contact with Tariq. You know, they supposed to be getting together. So we thankful that this thing is coming together, brothers and sisters. I'm so happy. Sometimes I can't even see. You know, I'm so happy. I'd like to read something to start off in the Holy Quran. I'd like to set some type of basis, something where I can come from. You know, and my conversation would be much better. My presentation would be much better. Anytime I establish a foundation from the Holy Quran. And I'm going to read Al-Furqan, the criterion, and that's Surah 25, starting at Ayat 1. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. With Allah's name, most gracious, the most merciful, the merciful redeemer, the compassionate, the merciful redeemer. So we thank Allah, and we just like to read, starting at Ayat 1, blessed is he who sent down the criterion to his servant, that it may be an admonition to all creatures. Okay? He to whom belongs the dominion of the heavens and the earth, no son has he begotten, nor has he a partner in his dominion. It is he who created all things and ordered them in due proportion. Yet have they taken beside him gods that can create nothing but are themselves created, to have no control of hurt or good to themselves. Nor can they control death, not life, not resurrection. But the misbelievers say, now is this, but a lie which he had forged. And others have helped in him at it. In truth, it is they who have put forward an iniquity and a falsehood. And they say tales of the ancient, which he had caused to be written. And they are dictated before him morning and evening. Say, the Quran was sent down by him who knows the mysteries that is in the heavens and the earth. Verily, he is all forgiven, most merciful. Sallallahu kabeem, should Allah speaks the mighty truth. So we are believers in Almighty God. Our whole movement is to establish La ilaha illallah. Muhammad and Rasulullah, you know, that's our whole movement. You know, I was out calling the peoples to oneness of Allah. We had the poster set up at the masjid, in front of the masjid. And Allah blessed me to put together some flyers. My wife made it up, and we got it in the fly form, you know. And what we were asking was the removal of all racial identifiable human image of God from worship. We had a brother had, you know, he was dealing with politics, and this is a busy corner here in Baton Rouge, and anytime they want to push something, advertise something, you'll see them out here in this area, right here by the masjid, and right across the street. They got a big car wash, you know, brand new car wash, and right across the street from that, they had brothers and sisters set up set of food that they made, all type of food, and they had the tent set up and everything. Last Saturday, the Christian was setting up, passing out Bibles, giving out Bibles, offering prayers to anybody that want them to pray for them. And it was about 10 of them out there doing that. And what we was doing was asking, we had to sign up, and we was asking for the removal of all racial images out of worship that portray God. It's a four-way corner. Four-way stop. And people blowing their horn, waving at you, you know, and things. When they read that big sign I got up there, they can't miss it. They can't miss it, you know. And brother, he was doing politics, you know, and he was talking to people about someone he was asking them to vote for, he couldn't help from coming over and asking me a question. He said, "Your sign say remove all racial images out of worship." He stressed the point, racial images out of worship that in religion. That's what I say, in religion. He said, "Do you mean that blonde hair, blue eyes, light skin, Jesus Christ? Do you believe? Are you talking about that?" I said. Also, we were talking about racial images. Is that nappy head, big nose, dark skin, African American? And the Indian occasion and all other nationalities that portray God. He said, "Well, what do you mean by an image?" Well, I said, image, this is really how it went down. I said, "An image is anything that you see in creation." I said, "That's an image. Anything that you see in creation that brings a picture to your mind." I say, "If I say a horse, could you see a horse?" He said, yeah, I can see a horse. I say, "If I say a bird, could you see a bird?" He said, yeah, I can see a bird. I said, "If I say God, what do you see?" And he got quiet. I said, "You shouldn't see nothing." I said, "You know why? Because God has no image." I said, "There's nothing in creation that portrays God." And he thought about it. He thought about it. And he went back across the street just as quick as it was him coming over there asking me that choices. And now he's supposed to be stopping the cars, passing out those flyers that he had, but he was standing up reading the flyer that I gave him. He was standing up reading it. And the flyer I gave him was this. Praises be to Allah. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. And let me read you the flyer that I gave you. First of all, it said, remove all racially identifiable human image of God from worship. Okay. And it starts off as protectors and cultivators of the spiritual and intellectual development of African-American children. African-American fathers and mothers can no longer waste time pretending that racism in religion and white supremacy have never existed in America. Now, he's reading this. And I told Brother Imam, because we were standing up there together. I told Brother Imam, I said, look at him. He done stopped passing out his flyers, and he reading the flyer I gave him. And they said, because you and I both know that they have. If African Americans justifiably call for the removal of Confederate flags in this country because of the flag, historically murderous connection to slavery and white supremacy, then African American parents are most certainly justified in calling for the removal of all pictures, paintings, and statues that promote the worship of a Caucasian man as God in the flesh, especially since religious scripture, modern science, and human history have proven that the worship of human deity and religion can cause devastating long-term inferiority complexes and other mental abnormalities in the impressionable minds of children, especially African-American children. You know, and just think about it now. All this is going into his mind. All this here, he's going to have to try to figure it out. He's going to have to analyze it. He's going to have to, look, read it in a sense where he ain't going to just accept it. You know, he's going to have to do some thinking to just realize what's right and what's wrong, you know. And it said, why should African-American parents be afraid to expose a 400-year-old white supremacist lie that has severely crippled the thinking abilities and the self-esteem of African-American children by instilling a teaching in the African-American child that says God live on earth humanly inside the ethnic flesh of a Caucasian man. Woo! Such a teaching is monstrous. Such a teaching is white supremacy. You want to know why black lives... He read my flyer now. It's a neat little flyer. You want to know why black lives have never mattered in America? It's because Caucasian flesh, white flesh, has been worshipped as the divinely, the pure flesh of God in the flesh. But African-American flesh, black flesh, has been hated as a cursed, subhuman view of flesh off the filthy black devil. There's no sane reason why African-American parents should allow African-American children to be mentally crippled for a lifetime by lying, dehumanizing concept that says God is white and the devil is black. There's no sane reason why African-American parents should allow African-American children to be mentally crippled for a lifetime. You understand? He said, do you think that Caucasian Christian Americans will accept to teach their children But the almighty invisible creator of the entire universe was invisible, dark-skinned, nappy hair, African-American man. These concepts and these words knocks the brains out of falsehood. It knocks them out. They can't exist in your mind when you read words like this. It knocks their brains out. You know. And Jesus himself said that when you know the truth will set you free. It's gonna free you. So your life is gonna be different. The way you act is gonna be different. You know, your approach is gonna be different because you're not gonna be coming to people that will defending an old ancient lie that God had a son. Because in order for you to believe that, you had to defend it over and over and over and over. And every time you defend it, you're getting deeper and deeper into that lie. Jesus died for my sin. And Jesus said that don't even call him good. He said, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. That's what Jesus said. He told God, never did I say such a thing. When God asked him, did you teach the people to worship you rather than worshiping him? Jesus said, never did I say such a thing. So the truth is in the Holy Quran, and there's truth in the Bible. They asked Jesus, when is the judgment? Jesus said, I don't know the day nor hour. And why am I saying this? Because God wouldn't say nothing like that. How could God be put in a position where he don't know a thing? So, brothers and sisters, we are at the point right now, as human beings, as people that was created by Almighty God, the one God, that who is ever present and never absent. And we as individuals is now coming into understanding that we all got to come before God and we're going to be judged by God. If Jesus was judged by God, what about you? If Prophet Muhammad was judged by God, what about you? Each and every one of us is going to be judged by Almighty God. And we're not going to be able to come before God saying, I worship another human being, or I worship a tree, or I worship my money, I worship my education. You're not going to be able to come before God like that. Matter of fact, God said he's going to test and try you. And God appointed angels, he said, on your right and on your left. And everything that you do They write it down. And when you come before God, you have a book in your right and a book in your left. So brothers, we and sisters, you know, we going to have to realize what time it is. This is the time of sorting out. This is the time of judgment. It's time for us to accept the truth or accept falsehood. Well, Mr. Muhammad, how could you do that? Because you was given a free will. Everything else in creation got to submit to God. Everything that's living submits their will to God, except the human being and the jinn. And the reason for that, God gave them permission, gave them a free will. Until the day of judgment. And this is what we are going through. This is what the human being, not no other creature. It's only the human being and the jinn is going through what we are going through. A day of judgment. God said you're going to be tested and tried. And he's going to know the one that is true from the one that is false. And God said, don't come before him. Lying and crooked. Would you come before God trying to make an excuse or try to twist things up when you know that it's a lie? Would you go before God like that? You should get a triple portion of hell for being that stupid. God knows everything. So brothers and sisters, we thank Brother Amin for this opportunity. I'm going to yield, and I'm going to turn it back over to my brother Amin, and you know, I thank him for this opportunity. I thank Allah for this opportunity. I came to you in peace, and I'm going to leave you in peace. As-salamu alaykum. Back over to you, Brother Amin. As-salamu alaykum. Brother Ibrahim? Is Brother Ibrahim or Brother Muhammad? Are they in the queue?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. It's good to hear your voice.
Hey, good to hear you. I asked about you yesterday.
Praise be to Allah, brother. Praise be to Allah. I've been out here. I'm telling you, you don't believe it. I've been out here. I've been busy, brother. I ain't lying to you.
Yes,
praise
sir.
Be to Allah. What I'm gonna do? Yeah. If you can keep this on, I'm happy to hear your voice. Inshallah, we gonna let you. I'm gonna do the second hole. So I'm gonna ask you to come on and take it further. Inshallah.
Yes, sir.
Inshallah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I open the back windows to testify that nothing is worthy of worship except Allah alone. We are so glad in this day and time that we really know who God really is, who Allah really is. That is such a relief to a human mind that respects his Lord and everything that his Lord has sent through his prophets and messengers just to know that he exists. You know, we couldn't sit as comfortable as we are now if we didn't know that. And how do we know it? Because the only man was to testify that Muhammad, may the peace and blessings be upon him, who the final revelation came through, is the one who guided us to what? He guided us not to know him so much. His vision was to guide us to know who Allah really was. And we are very grateful for that prophet, for that particular messenger. None coming after him. He seals the prophethood. No messengers, not divine. Messengers are still here. We are messengers, bringing the message that the messengers brought to the people. The message never stopped rolling out. Just the prophethood stopped because Allah allowed that era of prophethood to stop at a certain time. Now the message is still rolling. And if we just think back to like my big brother just said, Sheikh God said, it is humanly impossible for you not to know that there's only one God. There's no two, three. And when we say that, because everything that Allah gave us through scriptures thing, it's already clocked in our genes. It's clocked in our nature. That's why you know, in your nature, you know right from wrong. A little child, you say, don't go on the candy jar. The child's only 3 years old. If you go in that candy jar, I'm going to whoop you. The child eats over in the candy jar. You don't count how much candy in the jar. And when you go to count, the child got a strange look on his face. What kind of look is that that a three-year-old would have? That look on his face is telling us that he know he was wrong. He was given an order not to go in that cookie jar. Now, he's 3 years old. But right there tells you, he know right from wrong. So we come out every day. We thank our brother Amin for allowing us to be on the show that he established. We praise Allah for him. And we pray that he be successful in everything that he's doing.
Amen.
This is what we need. We need more brothers. Sincere. Like the sign Sujah said they got out in front of the masjid. Well, I don't see them over the Atlanta masjid. And as strong a message as that is, we should have them on every corner in America. Why? Because it's really helping us. It's helping our children, our people, realize the fact that they've been hoodwinked. And they have been damaged mentally, morally, spiritually damaged. And the message we bring, their nature tells them that that's right. I remember Imam Muhammad gave a lecture one time, and he was teaching us how, and he stopped, like in midair. He said, you know, what I'm up here saying, the truth, he said, I see many of y'all shaking your head like, oh, no, I don't agree with that. He said, but you know what? He said, yeah, physically. He said, but your soul, it said, yes, that's right. The soul, the nature of the human being is always going to bear witness to the truth, whether your physical body accepts it or not. And that's how we know that we've been turned upside down, because the mind controls the body don't control the mind. So why would your body outside of its nature, why would it step outside the nature and go against truth if your mind was in control? That let me know that your mind is not in control, but something else or someone else have your mind, and they are controlling it. And you know what that is? That's the same thing that you call yourself bowing down to. Europeans or Caucasians, whatever you want to have them or whatever you want to call them, this has got you so messed up that your very nature is turning against you. When you go out and Allah reveals something to you, and you deny it. You deny it. That lets us know that you're more content with the enemy of man has brought you and led you to, than being more content with God has brought and led you to. It's so easy for you to accept a lie. And you go to the lie, eyes open, not closed, ears open, not shut, mouth closed, not wide open. You go in this thing wholeheartedly with eyes open, knowing that it's wrong. And then you have the nerve to rise up to want to check your child when they step out of hand. But you got to remember, every step that child took to step out of hand or go against the order that you gave it, he got it from you. He's seeing you lie to his daddy or her mama, seeing you scheme and plot. He got it from you. It was wrapped in the household with it. And when you thought that the child wasn't looking and listening, you fooled yourself. So now you got a big problem. It's like when your children go against it, it's like the whole world is coming against you. And the first thing you say, what did I do wrong? I gave you everything that that you wanted. I helped you. I worked hard. One thing you didn't give them out of all that. You didn't tell them who God was. You didn't tell them the truth. And then when you told them who God was, you gave them a false one. You gave them a false image, a false concept of who God was, and you impregnated his mind and forced his mind to accept it. Now, what's happening, he had got hold of a little truth. He's listening. And that truth drilled 1 mile down, that we had our lessons in the first experience. When it drilled 1 mile down, it exposed all the falsehood will come up. So whenever you talk that child, it's backfiring on you. The child is not so eager to listen to you wholeheartedly and in truth to accept what you're going to say. How you know that? Okay, when you come on, I want you to make sure you take the garbage. Okay, man, I got you. Okay. Did you hear what I said? I heard you, man. I got to go. I ain't paying no attention to you. I'm brothers. When we came up, Brother Sujak, we come up in the last of the 40s and the 50s through the 60s. Our mom didn't have to do it but tell us one time. And they didn't tell us one time. They set out a program for us. What your chores was in the house that whole week. And when we got up, especially on the weekend, before we can eat, the first thing we did was make sure that our chores were taken care of. Do you know what kind of at ease and mercy that was to your mother? To know that my children are responsible and they listen to us and they do what we tell them. Today, no. You see it today. You got to, now, even a little baby, you got to tell a little baby now 5 or 6 times, don't do that. Don't do, you know, mama's going to whoop you if you keep doing it. Then I tell you don't do that. Our parents didn't have to go through that. So what has came in on us? I mean, it came in tremendously strong. It influenced us to go against God. It can't be one thing. We didn't come in the world going against God. When a child cries, you know, let me say it like this. Allah gave us orders in our religion. He gave us orders how to eat, how to think, how to pray to him and worship him and him alone. Okay. When a child comes in the world, the child has those same laws. It's clocked in him. He depends on the mother. He's not independent of mama. He depends on the mama. And when the child started hollering or whining because he wanted to be changed and be fed, and the mama rushing in and grabbed the baby and the baby is silent, that's a lie. Then answer the baby's prayer. See, even the baby's prayer is answered because the baby is not going against the nature that Allah created us in. Only time the child started going against the nature which he was created in is when we, in our ignorance, in our blindness, in our unwillingness to accept and submit to what God says do, come into it We intervene in his life and we guide him the way that we're going. Why would you want to guide your child the way you're going instead of guiding the child the way that God said go? Do you know, like my big brother said last week, if this in this creation, if it wasn't a creator, you wouldn't have no creation. Huh? You wouldn't have no creation if it wasn't a creator. So why would we try to pull the child in the same direction we went through, knowing it's wrong, instead of taking them in the direction that God wants us to go in? Can you see how backwards we are? Just stop and think. See, you lead the child away, and when I say God, I'm not talking about no Caucasian. See, that's what you do. You lead the child to that same image, that same image that God say don't make. And here's God giving an order. Don't make no engraved images of me. From the heaven to earth, heaven above, earth beneath. He's telling you don't do it. So when you give your child an order, I want to bring them closer to God, you give them, you say that to them, then you put that picture in front of them. That's Jesus right there, baby. And you know it's a lie. So when the child coming through puberty, getting his teen, getting in his or her teen ages, where they can understand things and recognize things and sense things from the right and the wrong. And then they start to come and question, what's the first thing you see? And I see many parents do that. Don't question me, boy. Don't question me, girl. Just do what I say, do. But, Mama, I just want to ask you a question. What did I say? You found it all because the child has grown up. The child has matured to start under things that God has clocked into them. God had put it in their nature. See, that nature will rebel. It will rebel. You think God created us and left us to ourselves? I heard our leader say, if Allah never sent us a prophet or messenger in the world, he said your nature will act as a prophet or messenger to you. What's that? The nature tell you, don't do that. But first thing you say, you get locked up. Man, if I'm defiling my right mind. That's your nature right there. We're telling you don't do that. But the other side, you that force will tell you, man, go ahead, it's all right. So if a prophet never came to your messenger, you is it's already caught in us, in our genes, in our nature to do right. Every human being coming to the world, no human being coming to the world want to displease his Lord. No human being. Every human being coming to the world wants to please his Lord. Every one of us. So it's society and the thing in society and the great big lie that railroads you, blindsides you. But now you have brothers. You have people who love you. That's us. And we're telling you to accept the truth before that time comes. See, that time comes, don't be like if you say, Lord, if you let me go back now, I swear, Lord, I'll do everything that's right. No, you just want to get back to get another shot of wine. That's all that you want to come back for, to chase the women again. You're not going to change because you have the opportunity to change. So why would God take you and then let you come back? If he was going to do that, he would let his messengers and his prophets and them come back. Not you. Not the one that dared God to take me away from here. That's the fire that you were playing with. Now you see it right in front of you. So we have to start as a people learning to be truthful. If you don't be truthful to nobody, I'll tell you, please be truthful to yourself and your children, your family. Now, once you give them the truth and they start to separate themselves from you, meaning in marriage or going on with their life, you gave them a foundation. Huh? You gave them a solid foundation. Not something that quibbles. No, not something that sinks. You gave them a foundation that they can stand on and bear witness there's only one God. If I don't believe nothing else in the world, if I don't believe nothing else, I believe there ain't one God. And I'm going to stick with that until I die. you'll be better off. Regardless of how your life go, you'll be better off. You know, I'm going to speak just a little bit at the Kuba was at the Masjid yesterday. And I tried to listen with an open mind. When people running through hadith, 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 then make statements like, here's a man that was, he was just a drunk. And this old drunk, you know, the companions would pick with him and say he was no good drunk. And they say that the prophet said, but you don't know in his heart, he may love messenger, Allah and his messenger. Okay. So I'm saying, wait a minute. That sounds like Christianity to me. That sounds like something that's weak or weaken the people, the believers. Because why would that be so if in the Quran tells you stay away from it? See, the Quran is the guy. Allah said that gambling, you know, alcoholism is forbidden. So you say this person love Allah and his message, he will do what Allah and his message say do. Or he will try his utmost to do it and never lean to that again. So these are things that we have to be careful about. I said that to say this. That's when you go to try to eat out of four or five different plates. I'm talking about our knowledge. Why did Allah send us Imam Wadi Muhammad? If you watched him in truth, if you learn, if you accepted him in truth, if you learn from him in truth, I have an Imam, Imam Wadi Muhammad. I learned how to do Juma for him. I learned how to do Janazah from him. I learned how to write or study a little Arabic from him. I learned how to deliver the message of hope to our people from him. So why I tend to jump on these other boards? See, that's a hog mentality. It's the hog, whatever you throw in front of him, he eats it. He never is in a position to check his appetite. And the human being that after that is unchecked by knowledge. So why would we jump in everything somebody say and put Islam on it, they're eating it up. So I told her, I said, listen, if you show me Islam, I'll show you slavery. If you show me Al-Islam, I'll show you freedom. This is the way we had to go. We had to take what our Imam gave us, Imam Muhammad, because he got here from Prophet Muhammad. He led us to Prophet Muhammad. Then led us to Allah. So I don't tend to imitate nobody else. But I listen at a coop. I go to the coop by Juma because Allah said go. But I don't go and close my ears up or accept everything somebody's saying. I try to analyze what they're saying. And what they're saying to me is just like the Christians do. Jump on an emotional subject and everybody eating all up. The emotion are wrapped all around it. Now, when your emotion is wrapped around things like that, you can't think. The one who's in control is the one who's talking. And lead your emotion down a sand cliff. It's not being checked. So this is the same thing about this image. We're not just challenging society. We're challenging everybody, Muslims, Christians, Jews, reptiles, whatever it is. This message that we have to remove all racial image of the divine out of worship. We talking about whoever it is. That's what we are doing. And we have told you we're in this mission wholeheartedly. And we're not coming out of this mission until Allah takes us away from him. Or he decides to do something else with us. But for right now, no, we're trying to help the people be free. We're trying to help the minds of the people be free. And look at the odds. Look what we fight against. We don't have the monies. We don't have the airwaves. But we can control TV shows, radio shows, music shows that our children and grown people are trapped up in. Got to break yourself. You got to break yourself away from the supermarket you're shopping, trying to get all your groceries in for the week or 2 weeks, but you got to break away from the store, leave half your stuff in the store, half stuff in the car when you got the car to get home to watch The Edge of Night. Search for another day. All these things that got you trapped up emotionally, tied to this crap. and you not getting a dime. You sitting there crying about what's going on TV, and the children coming, Mom, what's wrong with you? Nothing. I just, what's going on? What news on TV? I'm watching a show. See, that kind of, all this stuff had eased in on us and the people in the world through the media. That's the big, the giant image. That's the one you remember, Mama, too. Y'all seen the big shaitan today. That's it right there. Internet. All these things. Now, and we get paid to a lot for the internet, for a telecell phone, where we can call something, we can call and save a life in 1 minute. What we want to use is the right way. These people are using this stuff to further put us in slavery, especially the mind of the children. When our children leave home and go to college, I didn't want to put my children in a school to be taught by people that was morally corrupted. And I taught my children. They doing fine. I'll pray be to Allah. You know, this is why we need businesses. This is why we need our own school system. This is why we need a juvenile if we have to have one, a detention. This is why we need stores where we can feed ourselves and take care of ourselves and create jobs for ourselves. And don't have to depend on the same one that put us in slavery or put us in the condition we in. That's something wrong with that to me. That I got to depend on the same one that put me and my people and all the people in the condition we in. Why am I depending on him? Because I refuse to depend on God and what God has sent to us through his messengers, his prophets, and all the good men that came forth to say, I want to work for God. I want to stand for God. So, my beloved brothers and sisters, I want to turn it back over to our host, Brother Amin and Brother Sujan Muhammad. And like we say, we always give praise to Allah for sending Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to send us brothers like Imam Muhammad, like Brother Amin has got the show out of California and helping us where we can spread this message. Like Brother Sujan, my big brother, who's always on the go, always challenging energy to put this message forth. And you see some of the results we're getting now. People are responding to it. They're just saying, a picture worth more than 1,000 words. That sign we got up. Don't think that people ain't riding by there and reading it. They come out yesterday. They come out, they go to school. They come out again and reading that. That's soaking into their mind. So they psyche going to pick up something. And we pray to Allah that when they psyche pick it up, that they tell us, that's right. And we're not trying to make you Muslim. If you're a Christian, we're just trying to make you a good Christian. Accept the truth. If you say you want to be like Jesus, then you have to do like Jesus said. So like we say, we came to you in peace. I want to lead you in peace. And we pray to Allah that what we have said tonight, that some of what we said, speak in, is not all. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. Alhamdulillah. We thank you, Brother Ibrahim. We pray that Allah continue blessing you and your family. Go all the way down to your children. Praise be to Allah.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen.
Alhamdulillah. Brother Ibrahim. I'm going to check with you and find out whether or not you want to say a few words. We into the business aspect of it, and we just want to check with you because you was mentioning something about the STEM program, and that's real interesting. Real interesting to me when you start dealing with education, especially the children. And just preparing their mind, you know, they moving forward upon how we prepare their minds, you know, the same thing same thing what Brother Imam Ibrahim was just saying, you know, we got to prepare their mind, and when they go out there, they would be able to face all these different obstacles. You know, they'll learn how to fight with what is given to them. You know, so praise be to Allah. Our brother, I mean, he's an educator, you know, and he's there in California. And I know he's been running into all types of concepts and ways that to enable to, you know, to get around things and a person that I know how these young people think, you know, I got 7 boys and 5 girls and I've run into it. So I take my time with my children. Praise be to Allah. So brother, we're gonna turn it over to you for as long as you want to, and then you can turn it back to me, and I'll turn it back to brother Ibrahim. I shall thank him.
Wa alaikum assalam. It's alhamdulillah. I've been in education for 30 years, all praise to Allah, way back, alhamdulillah. And, you know, when I became a Muslim, Abu Elijah Muhammad took that fear out of me. You know, I picked up that Muhammad speaks. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he told me all about the Negro, and he said something about he's stiff neck, something. And I wasn't used to going out and talking to people. I wasn't used to going out selling. And I went out with the brothers. I was kind of like a new jack. And I was out there with my big brothers out there in the street asking people, want to buy a Muhammad speak. And sometimes they scare me, you know. But all of Elijah Muhammad, he slowly took that fear out of me. He took that fear, you know what I mean? And alhamdulillah, that's a long time ago, night. In the 70s, you know, praise be to Allah. And so I got to the place to where, alhamdulillah, let me say, a'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajeem. First of all, we give all praise and thanks to Almighty God Allah. All praise be to Allah, alhamdulillah. And so, alhamdulillah, I'll open up in his name. And I'm in a good crowd. I'm in a good crowd. Good Akbar, Shuja, you know what I mean? The love of Allah, and they always give praise and thanks to Allah, and I'm picking that up and learning about that. But alhamdulillah. So later on, because of my record and stuff, I couldn't get the kind of jobs I wanted. So, you know, brothers used to go out downtown in Los Angeles and get little trinkets and selling. And I'd watch them brothers, and they'd go out in the field, out in the streets, and they'd be selling. And the brothers was, you know, a lot of them had troubles, but they was good brothers. They'd go to the masjid and they had their money, and we had a little restaurant. We used to eat bean soup and bean pie and muffins and talk about today, talk about what we're going to do, and go down to the wholesale area and get some portfolios and other things and get out in the street all crazy to Allah. And then another brother, in fact, brother Muhammad, who do the Juma, brother Muhammad was out in the field selling shrimp, and I said, brother, he said, you know, what you selling? And he's selling shrimp. So he showed me how to go downtown to the American Seafood Company or whatever company and buy that shrimp and go out, load up with 2-3 cases in the car, and go from door to door, drive from door to door, selling that shrimp. And and then, praise be to Allah, as time went on, I got to be, I used to call myself a master salesman. started off just scary, but I took that fear out of me. You know what I mean? With his papers, with Muhammad Speaks papers. So I'd go, we'd go out and sell that shrimp, and I'd go downtown and negotiate with them people, with them Asians and Caucasians and Jews, and get that, and then I had a Muhammad Fish Company, and me and my buddy, we have all this fish off in my house and stacked up, and one of my buddies would get all the phone numbers we had and call in people that around the city, can we bring you some fish? Can we bring you some fish? And then I started learning about going all down there, downtown Los Angeles, to get all that fish and selling that fish and taking care of myself, praise be to Allah. Learning that from the proof, from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. You know what I mean? He's talking to me about don't be afraid and have some courage and talking to me about the characteristics of my people and taking that product door to door, take it to him and the gold is in the fish mouth. All praises be to Allah.
Amen.
You know, we needed all that. All praise be to, I hope you can see, I hope y'all can see how Allah be working with us. Been working with us, you know what I mean, in our lives, and brought us to where we are. So, alhamdulillah, so it was a little sister who I was married with, and she was a school teacher at the time, and she said, well, brother, you've been going to school, you're selling everything, they hiring at LA Unified. And so I went out to LA Unified, and LA Unified School just applied and didn't really know, and a Caucasian, looked at my record. You a criminal. I know it. You ain't telling me.
You got that spirit.
You're a criminal. And then he found some excuse to down me. You know what I mean? So the sister said, "Well, no, but go out to Compton. Go out to Compton. You know what I mean? Where I grew up." I went out to Compton. Yeah, come on in. Because them youngsters, the Bloods and the Crips, was running them schools, and they needed men. Mm-hmm. They needed men.
Right.
Crazy child. And so Compton, they hired me and threw me in that class, with them classroom with them, and they gave me a little instruction and everything, and that was like 1989. That was my introduction into education, and all praise be to Allah. That was my introduction into education. And then, boom, Sacramento called me and said, Compton did a good thing. I got a letter. Compton did a good thing for hiring you, but you got to answer to all this stuff that you used to do, And so I borrowed $1,000 from my mother. My mother gave me $1,000. And I went and I got a attorney. Her name was Dolly G. She was with a law firm called Swartz, St- Sidestepper and something, something, something. And she was a labor lawyer because they was downing me because of my past. And that was the labor issue because I was working. And they downing me and telling me that I have to answer for all that stuff in the past. And so she was the labor lawyer. So she went and she got a statement from me and how I, you know, put us in the statement and went to all them police stations and stuff that I had been booked in and got all that and got the results and everything and got a statement from me about how I was an athlete. I was an athlete in high school, a baseball player in high school and a baseball player in college and all that and put into a big, big book about my life and sent that up to Sacramento, California. And then Sacramento sent it back to me, say, we're not willing to hold up your credential no more. So you can go back on and teach school. And so this is Dolly G. This is Dolly G. She put together that package, all praise be to Allah. We sent it to Sacramento, and they wrote me back about 4 or 5 months later saying, we have no cause to keep your credential. You have rehabilitated yourself. And I got letters from the people I was by the fish people downtown. They wrote me a letter that, you know, Muhammad can buy a fish. He's a good client, honest, upright. You know, I got a letter from the fish people. Yes, I am. Alhamdulillah. Oh, okay. I gotta let y'all go. I gotta talk to somebody, and turn it over to you. I'm gonna turn it over to you.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you, brother. Okay. That's a million. Y'all write a book. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan. Brother Ibrahim, you see, we got stories to tell. I know you got a long. We all got a good story. So. Praises be to Allah. Praises be to Allah. All we had to do was just take our time and know that what Allah bless you with, you know, and what you went through, the troubles you had, the obstacles that you had to overcome. Praises be to Allah. And all to get yourself established. You know, you don't got married. You got a home. You know, you got a car. You got children. Man, look at him. and they done did everything they could to put some obstacles in front of you. You know, to cripple you up. Well, you say, oh, man, later on for this here. I'm going out in the street where everybody else is at. Later on for this. You know. But you said, no, I'm going to raise me a family. Yeah. That's when I tell brothers to tell me, you know, when they tell me when I tell them, I say, these young men out here want to work. Oh, man, they don't want nothing.
No.
The person don't remember. They don't remember what they went through. They don't remember what they, when you say that these young people out the street right now don't want nothing, you don't forget what you went through. They not going through no more than what you went through. You know? And this is the way I had to talk to my son and my daughters. You know, y'all ain't been through no more than what I've been through. I know I've been through some stuff. And if you do wrong, don't blame your mother.
And don't, definitely don't blame me. You know right from wrong. You're responsible now. See, when we don't teach this type of knowledge to our children will blame things on us. They will use us as a scapegoat. I'm telling you what I know. I raised 12 children. They'll use you as a scapegoat for their misdoing. You didn't give me this. You didn't do this. You didn't say, I needed $5. You didn't give me $5. I mean, some whole lot of crazy stuff. And here they is, 2021, trying to use that to make an excuse because they didn't get a job. They didn't pass a problem that was given to them and offered them removed to another class. You know, they can't use that, brothers and sisters.
That's
no good no more. Right now, like I tell my children, we didn't send you to school just to get no job. Somebody to work for somebody else. We didn't send you college to help. It's all right if you don't know about a certain business, it's all right to work for somebody for a few months. But not the rest of your life. We paid struggle with this college thing. So when you come back here, you ain't even give people a job. You know, you ain't able to figure out problems that they can't figure out. And all of the savage business. So that's where we at. That's where we at with our children. Our children is way behind us. They're way behind us, brothers and sisters. And if we don't stand up and see what Allah done blessed us with, they're gonna do the same thing. With what Allah done blessed them with, they're going to make excuses. They follow us. I learned that, man. Sometimes my children be doing and dealing with things exactly the way I deal with it. And talk about it exactly the way I talk about it, and they don't live with me. They got their own place, and this is a coincidence. They deal with things exactly the way I deal with it. They address it exactly the way I address it. And what I'm saying is that. Your children study you. And they learn how to do things from you. And then don't never want your children. You always want your children to exceed you.
Oh, you put it in that box.
Okay. I mean, the imam said, I'm not reading up for parakeet. I don't want you to get out and repeat everything that I say. He want his children to exceed him.
Okay, I'm trying to spray. I had the big one.
It's to go beyond him.
What kind of spray?
This one here.
Road spray?
That's just natural.
I got one on the floor in there.
If your child can't do no more than what you do. I know you'll feel like you're a pig. But if they can exceed you,
if they can believe in the God that the main thing what our leader is bringing us is that we believe in God. If your children believe in God, they done followed Imam Waridi Muhammad. And they done receive what he tried to give to them. It's a belief in Allah and his messenger. If you see they believe in that, they got it. Everything else, they're responsible. If they bring everything new, completely different, all praise is due to Allah. I tell my children that this book, the Quran that I got, that you always read, I can go into one ayat and tell you all read just one ayat, and each one of you all will bring something different from the word of Allah. And each one of y'all could be absolutely right. That's why I'm so strong against these ideas. Because this is the understanding and the footnotes of the Quran. The Imam say, when he was telling us during the holiday, don't read the footnote. During the Ramadan, you don't read the footnote. Because that's a blessing that Yusuf Ali and Magdud and all of them got from Allah. They got that blessing from Allah. And they get their understanding of it. But remember, you got something to contribute to. You got an understanding to contribute to. And it could be just as right. Just as good. Our job is to put the peoples on the right track. That's our job. Put the people on the track of La Ilaha illallah Muhammad and Rasul. That's our job. After that, you're not responsible for them. You're not responsible for your children's mistakes. You know, that's Christianity. We're responsible for Adam's mistake. No, we're not responsible, you know. And that idea that Jesus is responsible, that he died for our sin, he's not responsible either. So we have to learn this knowledge, and then we pass it on the best that we can. We pass the knowledge on the best that we can. We can't be prophets. We can be messengers. You see? We can be messengers. We can pass our understanding because we are students of Imam Waridi Muhammad. We know how to think. And what did Allah say about thinking? So we know how to think. Only thing we got to do is not let nobody trip you up, stop you from thinking, and tell you that you don't have to think like they think. I had a brother really told me this. He told me that when I was giving him an understanding from the Quran, he told me that you can't depend on your understanding. You got to get the high-learned person to break you down for you. From the Holy Quran, from God's word. I got to get somebody else to explain God's word to me. I can't get it from God's word. See, but what he didn't understand the definition for revelation. Revelation is revealed knowledge. Who revealed it to you? Allah. And revealed knowledge
is knowledge that is already here. Only way you get it, Allah reveals it to you. That's revelation. Revealed knowledge. Knowledge is already here. And Allah reveals it to you. You see? It's just that simple. You know, ain't nobody taught you nothing. If Allah didn't reveal it to you, you never would see it. Allah said he put a cover, he put a veil over your eyes. He wants you to see it. If you was an unbeliever, that's the only way you don't get it. You become a hypocrite, an unbeliever. Then Allah said he put a veil over your eyes. You ain't going to never understand it. But if you are truthful and you are sincere and you trying hard, Allah gonna bless you to see. So let's get out of that mess that you need a priest. That's not none of us. Tell me, brothers and sisters, we got to be careful because we'll slip right back backwards off into Christianity. Our position in this religion is to submit. It's submission. Don't try to do our own will. Try to understand what God is saying and try to do the will of God. That's our position in this religion. And that's plain and simple. It's just that plain and simple. It ain't deep. It ain't up on a no rock. Submit your will to God. Because if you're in trouble and you're doing wrong, it's because you're doing your own thing. And who did God say you blame for that? You gonna blame it on the devil? Oh, brother. Oh, man. You know better than that. The devil made you do it? No. Allah said hell for both of y'all. Hell for both of you. The angel said, is there any more back there? Allah gonna give you hell. So all that what I'm saying right now will let you know that it's the individual. All that I just said is letting you know it's the individual. When you come before Allah, you're gonna come before Allah alone. Naked, bare, alone. You're not going to have nobody to speak for you. Why you think Allah taking all this time getting angels to write everything down? What you do? You don't need for nobody to speak for you. We better do the best that we can. Get our hearts right. You know, and let's get together. If you are sincere, we should be striving to try to get together and get ourselves in a position where we are able to make decisions. Allah said he's going to give us power. And the only way we're going to exhibit power is by us coming together collectively and establishing businesses and getting some of this dunya. We got to get some of this money, some of this wealth. And when you got some of this wealth, you can do a whole lot of good things. You don't have to do evil. Don't let them, don't let them fool you about money is the root of all evil. Don't let them fool you, brothers and sisters. We're going to have to stand up and say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadan Rasulullah. I thank you. I'm going to leave you, and I came in peace. I'm going to leave in peace. I'm going to turn it over to my brother, my imam, Brother Ibrahim. As-salamu alaykum. You got it, Brother Ibrahim. Brother Ibrahim, are you there? Brother Ibrahim, if you're muted, Brother,
if you can, yes, sir.
Unmute Brother Ibrahim.
I think he is unmuted. Ibrahim? Okay,
yes,
there?
Sir.
All right. Yes, sir, he's there. Yes, sir.
Okay.
I'm good.
Yes, sir.
Whew, okay. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. It's so good to hear your brother talk and make so much sense. You know, you just feel good all over. You know, that's why we bear witness, nothing deserving the words of Allah alone. It has no associates, no partners, and you should have no partner, no associate either, if it's not dealing with your own. You know, and we bear witness that his last and final prophet, Messenger Muhammad, may the prayers of peace and blessings be upon him, is the last of it. Like my brother said, we in the judgment. As a revelation, the final revelation is the judgment. And that's why we're trying to do everything that we can to bring you into the knowledge by giving you the information that you would need when you make the transition. You're going to need knowledge when you make the transition. That's why we ask our Lord to make it easy for us when we go in the grave. We don't want to go in the grave and be alone. You want to have something with you that's going to help you. Why do you think we pray all the time? Your prayers will give you strength. You know, the people that have the most problem when they get ready to die, when they die and go into the grave, is that they don't have no prayers. So the prayer gives you strength. But they don't have that strength. It also gives you a light. They don't have no light down there. So every little sound, cricket they hear, you know, no. And you be talking about, oh, man, he rests in peace. How the hell he rests in peace and he in hell? That's what you got to look at. You knew the kind of life the person had while they was here. You know they denied God, they self, and you too. But now they rest in peace. You know, I listened to my big brother said about his children. I was talking to my son one day, and like he said, you know, they'll try to pull some over if you let them. You know, so I let my son talk, and but he kind of paused, slowed up. I think, I said, I hear what you're saying. Yeah, I said, but who you talking to? He said, I said, who you talking to? I'm talking to you, Daddy. I said, you can't be talking to me the way you was talking. The stuff you asked me, and I brought you a better than that. I said, what you got to figure out is that you got my genes, I ain't got yours. So how you going to pull something over on me when you came from me? You know, so, but they think they sick. You know, and like Suja said, you going through what we done been through. You ain't did nothing. You ain't been through nothing, not the crazy stuff that we ain't been through. So I told my son, I said, at this time, I said, you about 13, 14, right? Yes, sir. I said, don't you know I was 13, 14 too at one time? So what are you going to go through that I haven't went through? That's why you still got me here with you. To guide you along, until you become comfortable enough to go out on your own. And the only thing to make you comfortable enough to go out on your own at your age, because you're the young man who's really trying to learn himself, but the first thing you learn before you learn who you learn who Allah was. That's what I put out in front of them, and that's what I pray Allah, that they accept Allah in their life and keep Allah in their life regardless of what they go through. I just tell my son, I don't care what you do out in the street. I say, if you kill somebody, I say, when you get to me, you tell me the truth. If you don't tell me the truth, I can't help you. See, the lies and little traps that say Satan play with us and play with the minds of our children, they get caught up and don't know how to get out. That's why they need it. I said, I don't care about all the technology you got, your computer whiz and all that. I said, you got that. All praise be to Allah. I said, but you know what? I said, you got to come back to me. What's that, Daddy? I said, you got to come back to me because I got the spirit of Allah. I said, down the line, do your little training. You don't lost that. You're not stronger than you used to be. You 8, 9 years old. You just hang out with me till you got 12 and 13 years old. Beat me to the prayer mat. Call the Azan. I said, now you don't got lax. Because your spirit is trying to lean towards something more than it should be leaning towards your Lord. Always keep your will in accord with Allah's will. Whatever you do, make sure your will is in accord with Allah's will. So that means you're not going to do anything outside of the will of Allah. Everything you do will be inside of the will of Allah. Just so you won't get trapped. If you keep that in mind, you won't get trapped. The only way you get trapped is you want to be trapped. So this is not a plaything. There's one thing about our religion that I love. We was taught, like Brother Amin said about I'm like Muhammad. Brother is the best of paradise to forgive all their sins. He made us realize that life was serious. And our religion was serious. And I just read today where Imam Muhammad said that when I became the leader of the Nation of Islam with y'all, he said, y'all already had the Quran and the Sunnah. I said, and then I got to thinking about it. We already had the Quran and the Sunnah. Yes, because religion is sincerity. Is that what our prophet said? Religion is sincerity. So if religion is sincerity, look how serious we was in the Nation of Islam. We were serious. We didn't have the right Akita, but Allah knew down the line that was coming to us, the right direction. But us being so serious, how do you think we built what we built in the Nation of Islam if we weren't serious? Okay, look at us today. We got the Quran, the Sunnah of Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at all of us right now. We got more money now than we did in the 60s and the 70s. And we ain't broke the Nation of Islam track record yet. Not the Nation of Islam we came from. No one had broke our record yet. That's because we were sincere back then. And just as sincere we were back then, that's how we should be today, or double sincerity today than we was back then. But by us having a lack of sincerity, that's why we ain't built nothing. That's why we ain't went nowhere. I'm talking about doing this along. We're moving in the same direction together, not separate. And we have mosques all over, just like we got that. Different communities, different states and cities. But we was all one, moving in the same direction. We had goals. And we met those goals. Not we didn't have them, we met them. I'm Elijah Muhammad, one of the lives yet. The second best in the country. Had 90 days to give the money again. We got it before 90 days. Stuff like that. We have semi-trucks going in every direction, east, west, north, or south, to deliver our goods to the temple. And we were there at 3 o'clock in the morning and loaded the truck. That's sincerity. That's dedication. That's what we do not have today that we need so bad. You can pray all day long. I got to build my spiritual self up. Okay. I pray all the time, and I break the night. Okay, that's fine. When you get to your job, the man tapping you on the shoulder, look, man, you're sleeping on the job. What's going on? You got little problems on you to take care of? No, you trying to really tangle the spiritual man up inside you to be in balance. Allah teaches the Quran to have balance. like the man was in the mosque praying through the time of the prophet, praying, reading the Quran and stuff. And the believer went to the prophet and told him what the man was doing. The prophet said, "Who feed him?" He said, "We do Rasulullah." He said, "You better than him. See, you better than him." Because we have to be balanced in this religion. If we just become more sincere like we were in the first experience, will nothing touch us today. We are expected to be the leaders of the world today. We are. Our religion is a leader. People are waking up. But people wake up more faster with energy to accept the truth if we would just unite. See, they're watching us. Oh, man, they ain't together. And they'll tell you, man, I'm in the time back in '70, man. Them brothers, man, they were everywhere, man. They tell you, see the good brothers, they wave you, wave with them. You got a little problem, they help you with it. They don't say that today. Today, we cutting each other's throats. And Prophet Muhammad say, he say, don't undermine your brother. And don't forbid your brother. That's a balance. Why should we undermine each other? And we've seen it happen. We just talking. We saw it happen. See? Back during the Nation of Islam time, that crap happened. Oh, we take care of you. Now, it happened. Everybody got an excuse. Well, man, everything is all right. Or it'll be all right after a while. Or they're going to take care. That's talk. What is prayer? Prayer without action is no good. That's what we're doing today. We're talking without no actions. We need the actions along with what we're talking to show the world that nothing is deserving of worship but Allah alone. And Muhammad is his messenger. And that is what we are following. See, we have something to follow. We have a leader by Muhammad and down from the other leaders, all the way down to Imam Wadi Muhammad, who showed us what to do in every occasion. And we studying him and following him. Other people want to go the other way now. They want to wear pajamas, talk crazy, get around you, and want to make you think they're a sheikh or something or so knowledgeable. And I hear, and I'm going to tell you the truth, because I like to listen. I get around them, and, you know, they don't went to school there, come back, and run the Arabic down. And I listen to the greetings, and I listen to, oh, yeah, brother, subhanAllah. If there's no P's in Arabic, no, oh, how can you say subhanAllah if there's no P's in Arabic? And I ask them. Then they try to size it up. Well, brother, you have to make a sound that's close. No, you don't. Because every alphabet in the Arabic language has its own character. Every word has its own sound. And even Muhammad told it, it's subhanAllah. It's a double A sound. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Not subhanallah. See, that's the crap they want to follow. I don't want to follow that. I'm trying to be as right as I can be by my Lord. Like my big brother said, we got to answer for everything we say and do. I'm trying to be right by my Lord. That's what I'm trying to do. So my dear brother, so I'm going to turn back over to my brother, Sujan and Brother Amin, we're grateful, very grateful for them to allow us to, you know, just have a few words of encouragement to you. As-salamu alaykum. Sujan.
As-salamu alaykum.
Okay, wa alaykum as-salam, Brother Amin.
Alhamdulillah, yeah, we got a couple of minutes. Good preaching, good teaching, brother. Alhamdulillah. Allah bless you. Alhamdulillah. Allahu Akbar. So, praise be to Allah. So, tomorrow is Sunday. And so, we, the message of concern should be on the same time. Well, 4 o'clock Western time, 7 o'clock Eastern time, but 6 o'clock Central. Brother Akbar and Sister Daya should be back tomorrow. And the show will continue, or the program will continue. Brother Ibrahim, could you take us out in prayer? We got a minute or so. If you could take us out in prayer, alhamdulillah, and, yeah, and we'll close out.
All right.
Alhamdulillah, if it's all right with you.
Yes, sir. Okay. I seek refuge in Allah from that which make man and women forget. For the name of Allah, the merciful benefactor and the merciful redeemer. Oh, Allah, let not our hearts turn back to corruption after you have guided us and from your mercy. Grant us mercy, Allah, from you. Oh, Allah, allow our hearts to stay attached to you, Allah, and our ways, and when we speak of you, speak highly of you and your messenger. Amen.
Amen.
Mm. Yes, sir, got, all right, my brother. Got 2 more minutes. Yes, sir. Got about 2 minutes. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Anybody got any more to say before?
Yeah, you. Come on. We're trying to get you back in there.
Okay, praise be to Allah. Well, tomorrow, Sister Rashida asked me to be on the. On the first Sunday, Mosque Cares, and so I'm gonna talk a little bit about STEM and our efforts out here. That's gonna be in the morning. So a sister named Rashida, she have an educational panel. So all praise be to Allah. So that's what I'm kind of like looking forward to doing. So all praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. It sounds good to me.
Yes, sir.
Is that
yes,
the sister out of Louisiana?
Quebec, pardon? Is that brother?
Is this a Rashida out of Louisiana?
I think so. Her name is Rashida. She says Robinson. Rashida Robinson.
Yeah,
that's Louisiana. She touched bases with Brother Wallace and Wallace gave her that time slot and that section and that responsibility. So she's gonna do it tomorrow. And she's gonna have two or three other Sister Claire Muhammad Bulls and Dr. Lynn, who's been on our show before, Dr. Lynn alhamdulillah, and I guess a couple of other people. And that sister out of Minneapolis, too, the sister who got that a couple hundred students at her school, she's gonna say something, too, the sister. So, all right. So, I guess we could close out. So, we close out Bismillah with Allah's name, and inshallah. I'll talk to y'all tomorrow. Or tune in to
Yeah, set your clock back. You know, it's going back tonight.
Okay. All right. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.